The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan Subscribe and Drive. No deposit, no compromise, no fuss. Find out more at nissan.ie.
I am delighted to say that Pete Lunn is on the line. He's head of the ESRI's Behavioural Research Unit. Pete, I want to put a narrative to you. The narrative is that people are so tired of COVID. They are so frustrated with the rules. They are so perplexed by the mixed messaging that they are beginning to bend and break those rules in an ever increasing number. Is that true?
No. I'm sitting looking at data right in front of me that says it's not true. The first part of it is true. The first part that we are tired of the sticking to the guidelines, that is true. I mean, I'm looking at data right in front of me here that will tell you that around 60% of us, if asked that as a direct question, you know, how tiresome are you finding it to stick to the public health guidelines on a scale of 1 to 7? Most people will give that a 5, a 6, or a 7. About 60% of us will. However, it's also the case that if you ask people directly, which is more important to you, the burden of the restrictions, putting up with these restrictions or preventing the spread of the disease, the overwhelming majority, more like 80%, are saying comfortably, look, it's preventing the spread. So essentially what they're saying is when you have to make that trade-off, the trade-off is worthwhile, even though it's painful. And as of now, the data are pretty clear that compliance with the public health restrictions edged up very steadily from the autumn. It got quite substantially higher at Christmas, and there's no sign yet of it starting to ease off. So, I mean, sure, there's always the anecdotes, there's always the isolated examples, but if we measure it in multiple ways, and I'm not just talking about self-reports here, we find that compliance is essentially, for the moment anyway, and who knows what's going to happen in the next few weeks, holding up.
And when you say holding up at what level? Like what percentage of people are compliant?
Well, that's extremely difficult because, of course, you've got very many different sorts of compliance. I mean, you know, from the sort of simple hygiene stuff to do with washing your hands and wearing masks to whether you're meeting up with appropriate numbers of people in appropriate circumstances. So it's extremely difficult just to put a percentage on it. What I would say is it's clearly the overwhelming majority, even if we ask other people to report on, you know, friends and neighbors and what they see around them. And it's clearly a very large majority who are complying with the restrictions. Interestingly, even the people who are not, there are very few who are rejecting them altogether. I mean, you're talking sort of 1 or 2%, you know. Even the people who are not fully complying, they're pushing the boundaries a little bit at the edges, you know, meeting a few too many people outdoors. Yeah. Or, you know, we can record a small number of home visits, which are obviously at the moment not supposed to be taking place.
So but I know it's very difficult to put an overall percentage on that, but I mean, how much of the population are in that category, give or take?
Well, as I said, it does depend which behavior you're talking about. I mean, we can measure, it's less than 10%. I can't be absolutely precise because it's hard to measure small percentages, as you know, but less than 10% are engaging in sort of visiting other people's houses each week where, obviously, ideally, they shouldn't, but it is comfortably less than 10%. So we can measure that and be fairly confident about that number. It really does depend which restriction you're asking about and how accurately we can measure them, though.
Is there, though, behind these figures, the danger or the possibility that people are beginning to, I suppose, push the boundaries a little bit more without necessarily breaking them? So they would report themselves as being compliant and they might say, yes, I see other people are being compliant, but they're not necessarily as compliant as they might have been a few weeks ago.
No, I mean, actually, the trend is in the other direction for the moment. So over the last weeks and months, and particularly since Christmas, actually, compliance has been rising, not falling. Now, I don't know, we don't have good enough data yet since the latest government announcement, where obviously we've got a prolonged level 5. So post that announcement, I wouldn't say we have enough data yet to know how it's been affected by that. But right up to the end of February, actually compliance had been edging upwards, not hugely, but definitely, and certainly since Christmas.
Well, what does that tell you as someone who studies human behaviour about the way we respond? Because I suppose, like the popular narrative, I suppose it's based not just on anecdote, it's based on maybe a kind of a naive understanding that most of us have of the human mind, that there's only so much we can put up with and that we get to a point that we just can't put up with it any longer. We say enough.
Well, let me tell you a competing narrative, because the first time that I heard people say, oh, the public won't be able to put up with this, they won't be able to manage more than a few weeks, was almost a year ago now. It was the middle of March, and it was an argument that was being had in the UK about when to lock down. And some people were arguing to delay because you only had a limited window. You only had a few weeks the public would stick it for. So throughout this pandemic, there has been a kind of refrain within public debate that the public simply won't stick this. Actually, there was no evidence for it then. And as of now, there's no evidence for it now either. I mean, the public really have stuck with it. And as I say, if anything, compliance has actually risen. And actually, there's good reasons for that. That's not just a sort of statistical quirk or something. I mean, we can see what's driving the levels of compliance, and it's primarily anxiety and worry about catching the disease. So as the case numbers rose through the autumn and then steeply at Christmas, so did people's levels of compliance. They went up at the same time because they're matching the degree of worry people have about catching the virus.
Okay, so there's less than 400 cases today. I mean, fingers crossed that keeps tracking downward. You'd expect compliance then to get a little bit worse?
So that's a really good question. Now, we don't know, because 400, of course, is still high, right? It doesn't feel so high because we went right up into the thousands post-Christmas. But historically speaking, across the pandemic as a whole, it's still high. And we've got a lot of work to do to get those numbers further back down again. So obviously, anxiety and worry starts to reduce somewhat as the numbers start to come down. But it really is important that we understand we've a distance to travel here. Those numbers are still too high. We're doing a great job in bringing them down. I mean, it is our compliance with the public health guidelines that is bringing these numbers down. So we have to keep going for more weeks to get those numbers lower so that we can actually genuinely start to lift some of these restrictions and get back to some activity.
Oh, so is that the fear at the moment? Is not that people are not complying? Because as you said, look, there's plenty of evidence, and not just from self-selecting surveys, there's plenty of evidence that people are complying. But that because we're coming from such a high base, that people will begin to, I suppose, bend or break those rules while the numbers are still at too high a level. That you know, I might think 300, you're 300, so it's so small compared to 8,000.
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know. We've never been here before. So this was obviously a much, much higher spike than we'd had previously. So on the way down, it really is important to understand that, you know, if you're talking 400 cases still, that's a really high base. And if we were to start to lift restrictions now, and if people stop complying now and take more risks, starting at that kind of case numbers, pretty rapidly we would find ourselves in trouble again. We have to push the numbers lower down, and that means we need to keep doing what we're doing for longer. And it really is important to understand as well that it's a false economy not to. I mean, if we lose control of the disease again, all that happens is we have to go back to square one and we have to lock everybody down again. So it ends up being a false economy. Mm. What's crucial is we get the numbers this time back down and low and get the disease back under control.
And maybe the pool of people is still a little too small, but have you started surveying attitudes to compliance amongst those who were last week? And a couple of people got in touch, like healthcare workers who say they had been vaccinated and their, you know, brother or sister had been vaccinated. So they were kind of meeting up with each other, you know, their own little bubble where they were protected.
Yeah, so the answer to your question, in all honesty, is no. The data at the moment, we don't have large enough samples of vaccinated people to be able to measure any kind of difference on people's behavior. It is really important to understand that while the vaccine, and I need to be careful here because obviously I'm not an infectious diseases expert, I'm a behavioral scientist, but it is important to understand that while the news about the vaccine is really, really good, and actually the early indications are that the vaccine is having a substantial effect on transmissibility, as well as whether you're likely to get COVID and suffer from it seriously. We do not know the full picture yet as to how much the vaccines are going to reduce the spread. So it is really important for now for people to keep abiding by the regulations, even if they have been vaccinated.
It will be interesting to see, though. It will be interesting to see if people's attitudes do change a little bit to their own behavior once vaccinated.
Yes, it will, because we know that personal risk is part of it. But we also know that one of the key drivers of people's behavior throughout the pandemic has been their concern that they might pass the disease on to others. So it's, as I said, it's really important to understand that we don't fully know what the vaccination does. And it may be different between the different kinds of vaccines. We don't know. We don't fully know what the vaccines do for the point of view of reducing the risk of transmissibility as well as suffering seriously from the disease.
Well, before I let you go, I know it must frustrate you when you're listening to people like me, and we might suggest that people out there are at breaking point or are getting sick of these restrictions. But it must also frustrate you when politicians and members of NPHET have done this. They've sat up there at that press conference and they've talked about slippage and people, you know, beginning to break the rules and that we need to double down. I mean, what you're saying is that there's actually no evidence that that's a problem.
Well, it's not that non-compliance is not a problem.
Well, it's not a growing problem. And members of NPHET have sat at that table and they've suggested it's a growing problem at different times.
Well, OK, so I think it's fair to say that the data would suggest that before Christmas that was true. I mean, there was a fall off in compliance before Christmas, as well as just an increase in social activity that was compliant. So, I mean, all of that was a reasonable comment to make, that we were running a big risk. And sure enough, we rolled the dice and it didn't come up very nice. Certainly since Christmas, I can't see any evidence that compliance is falling. Is there constantly a worry that it might? Well, yes, of course. And that's understandable. And, you know, even if it isn't down to fatigue or tiredness, because people are willing to make the calculus I've suggested and say, look, preventing the spread is more important, as we've discovered in this conversation.
Yeah.
There is also the fact that as the risk declines, there is a danger that people relax their guard too soon. It really is important that we keep going.
Pete, always interesting, and we appreciate your time. Pete Lunn, head of the SRI's Behavioural Research Unit.